start off by saying I've met a lot of people in the world, and I keep telling my team and everyone I meet, we have common patients. I know you've sent a lot of patients to us, and a lot of our patients follow your teaching and all your amazing teachers at Art of Living. I feel so happy in your presence, just like that. There's no particular reason. I was 19 years old when I read your first book, Celebrating Silence. I took a lot away from that, especially on relationships and love. And one very important thing where you spoke about intention. And so when I asked myself, why do I want to do a podcast with you or anyone else in the world? What was my intention behind it? And I think the intention was to empower our audience, our listeners, with information, knowledge, not tell them what to do, but to listen, empower themselves and say, hey, I want to make this change. Because I think out there in the world today, everyone's just trying to, you know, find information, add it to their life, make sense, it doesn't make sense. So Gurudev, to start off with everything, I want to ask you a very simple question on the ego. Like when I reflect on my life, I've had broken relationships, not just in love, but even work relationships or job relationships. And when I reflect, there was the ego involved. Today, when I look at patients that come to us with deadly diseases like cancer or depression or something as simple as diabetes or hormonal imbalance, I see this trend that exists where our egos are constantly in conflict with one another. So we don't allow space for emotional expression. What's your take on the ego? How do we handle it in the most, I wouldn't say simple way because it's difficult, but through your experience and learning, how do we manage the ego?
See, it's better you don't manage the ego at all. If you find you have one, you should just keep it in the pocket. See, if you try to manage your ego, that becomes a bigger ego. You know, I could manage my ego, can become a bigger ego. The antidote for ego is being natural. Simple. See, what is ego actually? We have to understand before you want to manage it. Ego is a boundary that we create between us and others. And it becomes thinner and lesser and less when you have more sense of belongingness. For example, you may not have a big ego with your own kith and kin, right, at home. But when someone comes of your stature or whom you consider your equals, then your ego pops up.
Could it be insecurity because there's someone who's challenging your space either consciously or unconsciously?
No, it is just a sense of separateness from others.
Okay.
And once you have a sense of belongingness with everybody else, and you don't find that ego is bothering you at all. Again, in ego, there are three types of ego, the rajasic, sattvic, and tamasic ego. Tamasic ego is completely blind. It's destructive in nature. Rajasic ego is want to show off more and show off what one is not. Sattvic ego is that which motivates you to do something. So it's okay to have sattvic ego.
Okay, so it can be helpful if we use the right kind of ego.
Correct.
Gurudev, in our previous conversations, we touched upon these two magic words, acceptance and letting go. Easy to say, difficult to do, because again, the ego comes in. So like when I have, for example, a patient who says that, Luke, yes, my relationship is in turmoil, but why should I accept this? Why should he say this? Why should she say this? Is this the ego again? And how do we create that?
It is just lack of broader vision or understanding. You go the reverse way. Someone says, why should I accept? So, okay, don't accept. You are not accepting for others' sake. If we say accept situation, people as they are, it is for your own sake so that you don't harbor that in your mind and you don't create tension for yourself and spoil your moods.
So it's for ourselves.
For yourself. Acceptance is basic and forgiveness is only for yourself. See, anger is a punishment that you give to yourself for someone else's mistake.
True.
And people keep making mistakes and how many times you keep punishing yourself. See?
That's true. Yeah, I like that because a lot of people say, why should I become a doormat? If I accept, everyone will walk all over me. But you're doing it for yourself.
No, acceptance does not mean complacence.
Correct.
It does not mean inactiveness. It only means you see the situation as it is and you move forward.
Right.
See, your unacceptance is only about the past or to some extent the current situation. Neither of it you can change. And you carry on this mood of unacceptance for the future and spoil your own time.
No, that's true. I think I kind of understand it much better right now. It's for ourselves. So we think, the moment we think we're doing it for someone else, then it brings that why me and the victim.
No. It's all only for yourself.
Gurudev, you know, a lot of our patients today, cancer, and a lot of them, you know, follow you, follow us. And I've noticed one fundamental, although people say there's pesticides in food, pollution in air, agree. But emotional suppression has become so strong, because today I have patients who even say, Luke, I know when I got my cancer. It's when I was going through a divorce or when I was going through, you know, trauma in my life. Gurudev, how do we get people to express themselves? Are there techniques? Do we really need to express, or can we process internally as well? Because some people can't express. They're in the kind of environment.
And some people cannot hold back. They keep expressing and all their emotions, and they land up in themselves in more trouble.
Yeah. So how do we balance this? What's the
meditation? Meditation, breathing techniques help you to balance your emotions, and then you become so much more aware. Then you know what you need to express, what you should not express, and which is not worth expressing. Because see, emotions are all the time changing. Your thoughts, your emotions. And you don't feel the same all the time. See, they all change. And suppose you express yourself as being somebody or some particular emotions, you know, that may not be your authentic expression of yourself.
Right.
So you are much more than that. And there is more chances of you being misunderstood. See, from the other person's point of view, suppose someone is like a time bomb, all the time expressing all their emotions and very volatile, people don't consider them as a stable human being. See, from your own side, you know, do you feel free and comfortable enacting or interacting with someone who is emotionally volatile? Certainly not. And so if you keep expressing all your emotion all the time, you will look very volatile.
So meditation is the technique that can help us look within. Yeah, we've seen that with Sudarshan Kriya. We've seen the impact on our cancer patients who do it and those who don't. The way they evolve out of past emotions. And some of them are very bad. They've been molested as children by immediate family members where, you know, we can't understand the pain they've gone through. But Sudarshan Kriya and meditation has worked for them more than, I'm not saying, I don't want to compare. There are great therapists out there, but sometimes just going within has brought them the expression that they need.
Yeah, that's how it is popular everywhere in the world.
So Gurudev, a lot of my audience, you know, I asked them, I said, I'm meeting Gurudev. What do you want me to ask them? So there were many, many questions, but I'm going to take two of the main ones that came up today. Life purpose. Of late, everyone is like, how do I find my life purpose? And this is coming from the youth and even people in their 40s and 50s and 60s. So, you know, life purpose, what is your advice to people? Like, I would like to say, I don't know what my life purpose was until I started enjoying what I do. And that's now become my life purpose because it brings me happiness. But for the youth and people, a lot of them want to align their careers with a life purpose. How can you explain life purpose to us in simple ways to probably, you know, align
it's
ourselves?
It's good to go from a negative point of view. See, negate what is not the purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is not just only to make money. Or it's not only to complain or get bothered about this and, you know, show off yourself all the time. If you keep negating what is not the purpose of life, one day you will arrive at what's your true purpose.
So subtracting. Instead of adding more things to find our purpose, we subtract. I love that. It's simple. It's simplicity. That's amazing.
And you see, as life advances, as you move from teenage to the middle age, your thoughts are changing, the needs are changing, your attitude is changing. So many things are changing. So then your purpose in life will also change.
So it's okay if the purpose changes at different
Absolutely.
Phases.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As you mature more and more, you know, you may find there are different things that are important in your life. You don't have to decide all that in your teenage.
Absolutely.
Just be free. Yeah. Just be free.
I love that. Thank you, Gurudev, for that. Gurudev, coming back to the question on karma, because a lot of our patients who come to us, you know, when I ask them, how are you doing emotionally? They're saying, I'm being punished for what I did. My cancer is my karma. I did this badly. I did this. And I completely believe that the understanding of karma is very wrong for them, because they've made themselves a victim now and they've kind of succumbed to the cancer. And they're like, whichever way God wants me to go, if I have to die, I have to die. And that's a very limiting belief. So in the most beautiful way possible, how do we explain karma to the youth, to everyone around, even an old patient who may be dying and saying, oh, I'm dying because of my sins? How do we explain karma?
No, see, first of all, remember, it's not only the sick people die. Healthy people also die. Everybody dies.
That's true.
Karma is just that latent impression in, and it is not lying on the stone. It's like lying on the water. Many karmas can be overcome. When you do meditation, you erase a lot of karma. Karma is all those impressions in the consciousness. And that could be taken care of, you see.
Through meditation.
Oh, through meditation.
Wow, I think that's so reassuring. Oh, thank you for that. That's going to help a lot of our patients. So it's not like, you know, because it makes me wonder, there are prisoners in jail who have committed very, very evil crimes as well. And there are people outside who also do the same thing. And it makes you wonder, then why isn't karma equal? So we have the ability to erase karmas through our actions.
Yeah, through our action, positive actions do erase karma. And, you know, it's a cause and effect phenomenon in the universe, whether you believe it or not. It is always there. You know, you eat wrong food and you don't feel good. And can't deny the fact that you have eaten wrong food. Right? But you can't justify every time eating all the junk food and saying, well, this is my karma. Life is a combination of both free will and destiny, see? Like I would always give this example, yes, your height is your destiny, but your weight is your free will.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. So talking about the word free will, because I wanted to tie it in with a question of evil. Today, the same human mind is capable of producing goodness, creativity, you know, world-changing, you know, ideas. And the same mind can also murder, kill, create evil, pain.
It is stress which is the cause of violence in life. Whether it is violence towards oneself, which comes as suicide, or the aggression that one has towards others, the basic of this is the weakness in us, that is stress. If you don't relieve your stress, if you don't see life from a fresh mind, and if you are overburdened with stress once again, you're bound to be violent.
So meditation again becomes a very powerful answer. Breathing.
And broader understanding about life. Young people commit suicide just because they didn't get the grade they wanted, or they didn't get a job or broken relationship, they go and jump off the cliff. That means they don't see life from a bigger angle, bigger, different perspective, right? That's where it is needed for people to have a broader outlook towards life.
So again, clarity of mind.
Clarity of
meditation. So speaking, since we spoke about the youth and what's also happening, Gurudev, you travel the world, you see so many people. We can also see that addiction is becoming a huge problem. Not just vaping and smoking, addiction to entertainment, addiction to mindless sex, addiction to, like, anything in excess is an addiction. You know, when you look at this at a macro view from, you know, a space of spirituality, number one is always the why. Why are these things happening today? Is it overexposure? Is it because it's easy? Is it because there's stress? Now, what's the why? Why is addiction growing more and more? All these together. Yeah.
Stress. It's because of loneliness, not finding the purpose in their life, not directing their life energy to a greater cause. Then you get bound up in addictions. You know, addictions are those habits which promise you happiness but doesn't really deliver. You see? And when you see people addicted or suffering, that itself is a bigger warning for you to not enter into it. But unfortunately, we don't even look at it, but we all people do get swept away through their company or just an idea to, okay, let me try it out. You know, this trying out things are very dangerous many a time. And that's how many young people get trapped into the addictions. They're unable to come out of it.
Right. I watched a beautiful video which you had done on psychedelics. And I was reading to the comments where everyone, a lot of people said, oh no, it's psychedelics are great. But what they fail to see is exactly what you're saying. We don't know the mind of the person using it. While some people probably can go to a particular level, other people can become victims of it and it can actually flip them out completely.
Yes, yes, you see, look at the people who are using psychedelics. They don't exuberate joy or bliss. They're not very aware or are able to use their intelligence enough. Their creativity gets suppressed. There's a lot of disadvantages in it. Basically, they don't look very vibrant and happy. They may deny the fact that they're unhappy, but they don't look happy. This is what our experience is.
So Gurudev, if we had the whole attention of the world for the next 3 to 5 minutes, okay, what would you tell the world when it comes to their lifestyle, which is health, mental, emotional, spiritual? What would you tell them?
Stress-free life is what you should aim at. And see life from a bigger context, not the immediate trouble and problems you have. Look back and see you have overcome many problems. That's why you are here today, right? Your own study of your own life is a big lesson for you to move forward.
That's great, Gurudev. And again, meditation would be the answer for that, the starting step. So anyone who wants to start their journey today, it would be to ease into
correct
meditation.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure, Gurudev.
Lovely.
Thank
lovely
you so much. Thank you.
Love, please. Keep doing the good work you're doing.
Thank you so much, Gurudev. Stay tuned for more. We're going to continue our journey, learning, sharing, and evolving.